Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio. Brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. Now, here's your host.
Lee Cantor here, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio, and this is going to be a good one. But before we get started, it's important to recognize our sponsor, OnPay. Without them, we could not be sharing these stories. Today on Atlanta Business Radio, we have India Hayes and Harold Raymond with Mini City. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having us.
Yes, thanks, Lee.
Well, before we get too far into things, tell us about Mini City. How are you serving folks?
Yeah, absolutely. So Mini City is what we call a compassionate tech hub. We're helping the homeless and homeless care providers obtain legal forms of ID at our different customer sites all over Atlanta. We are live with 18 different sites that range from places that some listeners might know, such as Hope Atlanta, the Gateway Center. We're live at youth shelters, and we're just really trying to make sure, especially during these difficult times, that some of our most vulnerable citizens are getting connected to services and ID.
Now, why is having ID so important?
Yeah. Having ID is super important because without ID, individuals are not able to get access to so many services. So if you think about replacing your passport, your state ID is super hard. But for someone that's experiencing homelessness, it's a real obstacle or barrier. Of the homeless that don't have ID, they're not able to get access to ID, housing, Medicaid, so many benefits.
Now, what happens, like, what's the path of a person to a homeless person where all of a sudden they had ID at some point and then they don't have it? Like, how does that occur?
So that can happen in a variety of ways. So if someone, has ID and then doesn't have it, if you think about it, IDs are very small. Some countries are making strides towards universal or digital ID. But in terms of within our nation, we do have a lot of different forms of paper ID. Birth certificates are still very tangible on paper. So if you're someone experiencing homelessness, it's very easy when you're highly transient to misplace it, to have your stuff stolen. Unfortunately, if someone, especially with youth, if they have family members that don't agree with them, maybe, coming out of the closet or identifying as part of the queer community, they might withhold different documents, not just their ID, but their actual belongings and kick them out. So there's a lot of ways, in women's shelters, we see wives or husbands that, are in abusive situations and their spouse might hold their ID. So it's a lot of different ways you can misplace it or just not have access to it.
And then without kind of an identification that is being recognized, that means like no Social Security. You might not be able to get food stamps. You might not be able to get the actual need that you, the stuff that you need on a day-to-day basis.
Exactly, Lee. So that's what we really think about our work and securing ID as the first step of getting them on that road to self-sufficiency for a lot of our homeless users. And Mini City is really becoming a platform that's much larger than just ID. As we're growing, we are seeing the need to install these features and incorporate better ways to get services to the homeless around EBT and Social Security and even Medicaid. So we're implementing new features around healthcare, health and wellness, and promoting EBT and WIC coupons for local CSAs, local markets, and big box retailers that our partners and case managers can print out and provide to some of our users.
So now, what does a partnership look like? How does an organization team up with you guys?
Yeah, so it's really easy, and actually during this time where everything's so virtual, it's been a lot easier. So in the past, we would do, of course, meetings with directors or CEOs that were interested in our products, or maybe a caseworker researched us online. They're looking for ways to get ID for their clients or homeless citizens. And we would go have a lot of, demo presentations and onboarding and all that. But now with everything being very virtual, we will easily connect to you know, after those first emails, we'll do a team training. So that could be for small shelters, just maybe 5 caseworkers, upwards to over 60 caseworkers on a virtual call, which has actually been a lot more seamless during this time. And so after the virtual call, getting them familiar with the software, our team will either mail it to them, but almost all times we'll drop it off ourselves for our in-state partners, you know, with the necessary precaution and mask and all that good stuff, but we'll drop it off. Sometimes we'll have a series of outreach events where we're there, you know, just to get them comfortable. Other groups are more tech savvy and they don't need that. But it's a combination of, you know, digital onboarding, but always having that human connection where they feel like, okay, I can do this. I'm empowered. The more the caseworkers feel like they can use it and understand it, the better they're able to help, you know, their homeless citizens kickstart things with it as well.
So right now, they're not trying to help their folks that they're serving get IDs, and you're helping them to incorporate that as part of their suite of services that they're kind of how they're serving the homeless right now. Is that how the partnership works?
Yeah, absolutely. But I would actually say all of our partners are utilizing, you know, the best means they can before they meet us. And then they find out, wow, the services that we're using aren't tailored for the homeless, or we're not having a really good return rate. So that's why they reach out to MiniCity. A lot of the services that exist right now that caseworkers or homeless shelters or service providers use, they require support ID. Or one of our citizens, homeless citizens, said, man, it feels like you need ID to get ID. So we actually utilize a variety of means to get ID without having any ID at all.
And then you're kind of leaning on technology to help that. That's the bridge?
Yeah. So we're using our technology, the mobile tech solution, the MiniCity tech solution, and our platform to make it much more seamless and efficient. We've accumulated about 60 different notary and authorization forms, and took about a year of research and contacting the different vital records offices to create this repository so that we can automatically streamline and fill out these applications, these forms, with information we're getting on the front end with our mobile solution.
So now, describe for me, like, these groups you're working with, what does life look like before MiniCity, and then what's life look like after they've implemented MiniCity?
Yeah. So with some of the shelter sites that we work with, we've looked at, you know, one, we try to really understand what their pain points are, not just, of course, for the caseworkers, but also for their clients. What are they not able to get access to? What's happening? Some of our shelter sites have said upwards of 90% of the people that they welcome into their program don't have ID. So what does that mean? Typically, they were looking at 60 to, you know, up to 6 or 8 months of trying to apply for ID for one person. Now, one caseworker might have hundreds, you know, easily hundreds of homeless citizens that they work with. And their job is to make sure, you know, they're becoming sustainable, becoming integrated into society, and really having a great shot at getting services, their first house. So with those stats, 90% of people not having ID and it taking months and months, a lot of times they have a cutoff time. Some shelters are more lenient, they'll extend it, but many times they have like a 3-month maximum to try to get them services. So in the past, what was happening is there was a lot of, rollover or turnaround, I guess you would say, where people will come in and they will focus on people, the small percentage that do have ID and get them stuff. But there's a large amount of people that they had to either turn away or weren't able to get access to benefits, which is really hard on teams. It's really hard because their mission is to help individuals and help them get access. But there's this huge key, which is ID. And so once MiniCity's implemented, for example, one partner site, Hope Atlanta, they have what they call wellness or healthy hotels. Now, this was something the city created, different hotels around the city where they house just homeless individuals that are, you know, trying to shelter them from COVID, but also get them services. And so we've onboarded whole entire hotels, like 12 floors, and we're able to quickly get them access to ID, which helps them get their first apartments, their first jobs, maybe different benefits that they've been, if they're, you know, elderly, that they've been looking out for, and really get well on their way. And so we've helped nearly 1,000 people upwards with these different services and connecting them to stuff. So it looks like a really different picture. It looks like before, maybe you're only able to focus on a small percentage, to now, okay, everyone at least has a fair shot or a chance.
So now what's the backstory? What was the impetus for starting this?
Well, MakeCity is really interesting. So when it actually started from like just a really phenomenal panel, actually, I saw a panel on hacking gentrification. How can we make gentrification more inclusive? And I remember being really into it. And I think the Beltline, City of Atlanta, and a lot of other really great tech startup founders and leaders like Joey Womack from Goody Nation, they were hosting it. So afterwards, I ran up to them and said, hey, I have this great idea. Harold and I have already been working for years in social aid. Harold a lot in, you know, food sustainability and food desert prevention, myself with the homeless. And we just had this great idea. And so they told us to apply to their incubator. We got in, and MakeCity actually came from a 6-month incubator that was sponsored by Goody Nation and Google for Startups. And we've really grown, you know, from just a small web portal to different team members to all that good stuff.
Yep. We've really grown to something much bigger with the MakeCity platform and solution to our mobile application, and even branching out to the new and greater partners. We are having our first out-of-state traction and our customers from Colorado to Baltimore. They're doing a myriad of great work in these areas around focusing on helping the homeless, getting them resources and different parts of the indigent population too, even providing like wellness showers and different things. But they're going to be using and utilizing the MakeCity solution to get them records and put them on that path to sustainability.
Now, were either of you technology people, or you were serving them as volunteers and just helping in that community, and then you needed a technologist to help kind of create the platform, or were you you have the platform in mind at the beginning?
Yeah, well, I think we can both speak to this. So Harold and I are also siblings, and we have two similar but very different backgrounds. We have heavily worked in social impact, both of us, you know, from college and even before then, just with our family and international and domestic aid as well. So a lot of my background is actually in user experience and design, tech for social good. But I have a background that's really rooted in graphic design. I'm a graduate of SCAD here in Georgia. But at some point along the way, people ask us all the time, oh, you must be an engineer or coder. I'm not. But my brother can speak to his background, which is definitely rooted in technology.
Yep. So like you said, we've done a lot of work into social good. I've always tried to think of ways to incorporate technology into some of that work. My background in school was in computer science and business, and I did a lot of work around data analytics and database development, and spent some time in the corporate world with big box tech firms like Cisco, and did some work also with Google with their community leaders program, and trying to get communities engaged in using technology for a greater purpose. So it's always been around that vein. And it's really great that we can implement it and make good change with MakeCity.
Now talk about marrying technology with social good. Are you seeing more and more of that, especially among younger folks, that's their way to really, they want to have work that has meaning and do work that matters? And you know, people in technology, sometimes you see them as very driven to solve a problem, but they don't, it's not necessarily a social good problem. Are you seeing more and more kind of people gravitating towards social good?
Yes, definitely. And I think you can see that for sure from the startup sphere all the way up to the corporate and larger big enterprises. You know, for a lot of our, even as MakeCity grows, we're connecting with a lot of enterprise partners that want to integrate and get some and do social good and have a social impact also. They want to provide certain services and have a larger breadth to their market too. But we're seeing it a lot with the younger generation. We're doing a lot of engaging podcasts and interactions with in the media sphere around letting people understand how tech and social good can really be the forefront of the future.
And I will say, Lee, additionally, prior to going full all in with MakeCity, I worked at CNN, and again, I'm a SCAD graduate. And looking at, in my role there, I also helped launch a fellowship program. And then looking at the portfolios, I saw a huge shift in the past 5 years, I would say, in incoming, you know, graduates or new interns or new hires, really focusing on, you know, flashy or very, like you said, using tech and whatnot to solve something, you know, that's always there. But all of a sudden in the past years, I've seen a huge surge of young designers and technologists who are really committed and their portfolios show it. Their early like projects show it, that they're really focused on things like preventing, you know, recidivism or trying to make sure people have a place within society after they've been incarcerated. Or you start to see all these new and interesting app ideas or focus points amongst students or, you know, like Harold said, different generation that's really trying to come to the forefront and make not just technology something that's ubiquitous and all-encompassing and solving many problems, but also solving the most important problems in our nation.
Now, talk about the Atlanta ecosystem when it comes to social good. Do you find this to be a good community collaborative and people wanting to help, or has it been tough for you to get traction?
Yeah, I would say, so this question gets brought up a lot, especially when we go to conferences or have potential clients on the West Coast. I think, you know, Atlanta is definitely a tech startup city. It's booming or it's very engaged, but other parts of, you know, our nation, like the West Coast, are really known for being more risky and daring and all that. I will say in terms of collaborative efforts, we have really built up or seen or been welcomed and loved by our very rich and diverse startup community from, you know, Jewel Burst, Justin and Joey Womack from Goody Nation, Tanga Sam from Morehouse and Ascend 2020, all these different people from Morehouse and Spelman. There's so many different groups who really uplifted Mini City over the years. Mentors at the Farm Comcast. That was an accelerator program. Those are probably friends we'll have for life. We got really close to them. But I will say in terms of, so we have like two different spheres. You have your community members in Atlanta that are uplifting, which I feel like are very supportive and very encouraging. And then you have your actual customers where you have to make, we have to make traction. And that's the thing in social impact. It's a hard realm to get into because you're making a difference and people really, you know, are proud of you, but then you have to be a sustainable business. In terms of traction, I will say Atlanta and our experience has been slower to adopt. You know, I don't want to, you know, be dishonest or whatnot. I'm not slamming our city. I love it, but they are slower to adopt. What we saw was Mini City went from having zero customers to having, again, like I said, hundreds of users. And then, you know, 18 sites. And that was immediately, you know, largely due to the pandemic. When a need occurs, you start to really see what startups are most needed, which ones are going to bring in that traction. What do we like? Okay, that cool new thing is nice to have, but what is the stuff that we need to have, you know, to solve problems? So I will say Atlanta, it's welcoming and collaborative amongst the startup community, but you got to really prove your chops to get those customers here. They're not as risk-taking and for good reason. In social impact, people really, it's such a environment of scarcity. People really want to know it's a sure bet, you know, because they're dealing with such tough problems.
Now, what is the activity that you're all high-fiving at the end of the day? Is it that you got another partner or is it another group of folks, you know, the homeless people that have IDs? What is the thing that, you know, the metrics that matter for you guys?
Yeah, I would say the metrics that when we were very early on, the metrics that matter, of course, were the number of homeless citizens. And that still is always that we help. You know, we're doing, it's very tough work, you know, that you're doing. So it's always very, very heartwarming and gives us our team a high five when we're able to help a large group of people. One of our best moments was when we onboarded an entire wellness or healthy hotel during the pandemic. That really brought us a lot of joy because that means we're definitely helping a really critical part of society. I will say that it's probably easy to think, oh, a customer is like a huge high five, but you know, it's going beyond just the amount of clients and customers. On top of that, we high five each other when we know for sure. So we also store data and narrative goals. We love it when we help someone reach their narrative goals. Like there was a young single father who was able to get his birth certificate and his sons. And he ended up, he was a veteran. He ended up getting his dream job, moving to a new city. He wrote us like stuff like that. Stories on top of the amount of people is always like a high five for us. A great moment.
Right. Like the mouse has to get the cheese sometimes, right? And you're fighting a fight that's very difficult. And I'm sure there's situations where you're helping someone get their ID for the second time or the third time, and you've already seen this person, and it must be frustrating from, you know, to some extent, but it's also, you know, a mission that really matters and is impacting individuals. But to see someone kind of escape homelessness, that has to be that's the cherry on top, right? That's why you're doing it.
Yep. The big cheese.
And then, so when you get those stories, when someone has got that escape velocity to leave homelessness, then that's why you're getting up early every morning.
Oh yeah. That's definitely what drives us. You know, we always say instead of just being like, hey, we're a SaaS, you know, software as a solution or a service. We always say we're a compassionate tech hub. That's what we do. What we do, everything that we do, not just driven by numbers or this or that. It's definitely driven by, you know, compassion and helping others.
Yeah, but how can we make the best impact in our community? What features and services are we going to be providing and making more efficient to really help and grow that experience, make that, like you said, cherry and cheese even larger?
Now, and right now it's in Atlanta, so, and people are inquiring from all over the country. Is this something you see it scaling into other markets?
Yeah, absolutely. So, you know, again, Harold's a recent addition to the team that I'm super thankful for, because as a lead on business development, he's constantly reaching out to other groups, and he really helps spearhead a lot of our initiatives with other parts of the nation. And so we have a potential partnership with groups in Colorado and Baltimore. There was a lot of interest in Florida, and that really came from, do you want to talk more about it, the national conversations?
Yes, for sure. We had a national conversation around ID and securing ID for indigent citizens. And this really came out of having a discussion with a lot of people around the Homeless ID Project out of Arizona and different groups in the nation. So we were about 15 different groups that had the same ideas, but they were finding issues because of COVID of doing things integrated, doing things remotely. And they were truly trying to explore how can they make stuff more efficient and incorporate tech. So we brought all these groups together. And as we had our bi-monthly discussions, a lot of people were really surprised to see how many cities had taken that initiative and already had integrated, you know, those digital tools to make the access to ID much more efficient and better for people. So it was really great to have this discussion. We got some customers from there and we're really exploring the better ways we can, you know, make the system and our processes more efficient also, and, you know, networking, collaborating with these groups. So it's been really interesting, and it's really opened our eyes to the other areas that Mini City can grow in and market valuations and market segments that we can penetrate.
Now, if somebody wanted to learn more about Mini City here in Atlanta or get in contact with anybody on your team to have more substantive conversation, whether they're an enterprise level organization that wants to support your work or a partner that wants to implement your solution, what's the website?
For sure. If people want to reach out, get involved, they can easily do that by, you know, reaching out on our website. Just look us up at minicityatl.com. They can also email us at hello@minicity.com. So those are both ways. You know, we're on social media at minicityatl. Those are all great ways to reach out or just connect with us.
Well, thank you both for sharing your story. You're doing important work, and we appreciate you.
Yeah, thank you for having us. We really appreciate it, you know, taking the time to interview us, to ask about Mini City. It's always a pleasure. We really appreciate it. Yeah,
thank you so much, Lee. And if everyone listening, you can always find us on social media, on our LinkedIn, our Instagram, at Mini City ATL or Mini City Incorporated.
Good stuff. Well, thank you again for all you do.
Thank you.
All right. This is Lee Cantor. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio. And remember, this work would not be possible without the support of our sponsor, OnPay. Please support them so we can continue to share these important stories.
Today's episode of Atlanta Business Radio is brought to you by OnPay. Built in Atlanta, OnPay is the top-rated payroll and HR software anywhere. Get 1 month free at onpay.com. We'll be right back.